I'm sure that most of you have heard by now, either from the news on television or reading the newspaper, that we have some very exciting news happening within the Diocese of Lafayette. There are three persons, two of them who are very well known to us, whose names have been formally and officially submitted to Rome to be listed as candidates for canonization. Those three persons being Charlene Richard, Father Verbis Lafleur, and Auguste Pellefigue. All of them will have their lives, their faith, their impact on others, the prayers that have been attributed to their intercession, and miracles attributed to their intercession, all these investigated by the Congregation for the Saints in Rome. That's the congregation that's responsible for recommending Catholics whose lives are worthy of invitation to the Holy Father to be recognized as saints of the Church. Now, the process is detailed and it's quite lengthy, so it could take a few years, maybe several years, even a couple of decades, but who knows? Perhaps before long we're going to have a St. Charlene Richard, St. Verbis Lafleur, St. Auguste Pellefigue, all bringing great pride and joy to our area. If you notice, all three of them are from the northern part of the diocese, our own area, locally. Charlene, of course, came from the community of Richard, not too far from here, in northern Acadia Parish, just near the St. Landry Parish line. Father Lafleur was born here in Ville Platte and had his earliest upbringing here before his family moved to Opelousas. Charlene, as you recall, died at the age of 12, suffering from acute leukemia, offering up her death for other people. She was also known to be extremely devoted to Christ in her younger days, and so she's a great example for young people in dedication to the Lord, a life of prayer, service, self-sacrifice, and giving her life, especially her death, to the Lord. Father Lafleur went to seminary while he was in high school, going to St. Joseph Seminary in Covington, finished at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans, was assigned to St. Mary Magdalene Church in Abbeville when World War II broke out, and volunteered to serve in the Army Air Corps. It was while in the service he was taken a prisoner of war by the Japanese and brought to an internment camp, suffered for a couple of years quite intensely, and died when the ship that he was on, containing POWs, was torpedoed, and he died offering his life to help others live. Auguste Pellefigue is not quite as well known to us here. He was called Nonko by the people of Orneville, where he lived. He was born in France, but raised in Orneville, where his parents had moved while he was a young child. He never married, stayed single, but devoted himself to education, both secular education as a teacher and religious education as a catechist. He lived very poorly and very simply, but walked all over Orneville and the surrounding area, encouraging people to be devoted to prayer and to the Sacred Heart. So he's called like an apostle of the Sacred Heart in the Orneville area. All of them, I think, embodied the faith and culture of South Louisiana, especially our own area, so it's a wonderful thing for us to celebrate their lives and the possibility that soon they may be declared saints of the Catholic Church. All this serves as a reminder to all of us of our baptismal call to be saints. Now, when I tell people about this, that you're called to be a saint, they kind of look at me funny sometimes, like, me? I'm called to be a saint? Yes, we all are. Recall that every person by baptism is called to a life of holiness, to be like Christ in everything that we do. And ultimately, after our lives in this world is over, to join the saints and angels in the eternal praise of God in heaven. Keep in mind that every November, the first day of November, we celebrate what? All Saints' Day, which of course we're celebrating everybody who is in heaven. Not just the listed canonized saints, but every baptized person who has made it to the eternal praise of the Holy Trinity in heaven. That includes people that we know. Not just priests and nuns, not just, you know, monks and hermits, but ordinary everyday people who simply live their call to holiness. Yes, God has summoned us to be holy and blameless in his sight, as St. Paul says. It means not to just be naturally good people, but to be supernaturally good people. People dedicated to the sacraments, dedicated to prayer, filled with the presence of sanctifying grace. Not living as sinners, but being truly righteous. That's why for us who are baptized, it's for us to pray, and pray daily, to come to Mass and worship, to make frequent use of the sacraments, receive the Holy Eucharist, go to confession, live out our baptismal promises, our marriage vows, be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit and exercise those fruits and the gifts. It's to be helpful in this world, to make a difference for the good, to be positive, encouraging, and friendly people who imitate Jesus Christ in everything that we do. You know, the baptism of Christ that we celebrate today is the same as our baptism in Christ. When we look at the baptism of Jesus, what we find there is Christ going to his cousin John the Baptist. Now keep in mind that the baptism of John was not a sacrament as you and I understand it, because Jesus had not yet suffered and died, risen from the dead. The baptism of John was done by Jewish people as a ceremonial washing, signifying that they were not living according to the Jewish law and the covenant. They wanted a change of life and be something different. So they'd go and do a ceremonial washing, called a mikvah in Hebrew, like this, and would dedicate themselves to being righteous Jews. Jesus is breaking with his own past. Not that he was a sinner, obviously he was not. But Jesus is going to leave his quiet, hidden life of Nazareth as a carpenter and begin his preaching ministry that ends up in his suffering and death and his resurrection. So Christ goes to John, and of course John says, I should be baptized by you, but yet you come to me. And Jesus says, allow it now. This way we fulfill our righteousness. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to take this little simple ceremony that we're doing and transform it into something life-giving. So Jesus is baptized. What happens? The heavens open up for him. The Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove, comes upon him, and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his apostles, go out into all nations, teach them everything I've commanded you, teach them the gospel, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, that sacrament has gone into effect. As St. Paul tells us in Romans, all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. We die. We die to original sin. That sin is replaced by sanctifying grace, and we live a whole new life. The Spirit of God comes deep into us, making us temples of the Holy Spirit and truly sons and daughters of God. At our baptism, we hear the voice of the Father saying about all of us, you are my beloved Son, you are my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased. Now keep this in mind. When a child is baptized, because that child does not have sufficient use of reason just yet, every child from about the time of baptism till about 7 years old is never ever guilty of any sin. These children are baptized, these children are saints. Now when they turn 2 or 3, it may not seem like it sometimes, but they certainly are. But the question is, are we going to keep that baptismal innocence? Well, as we get older, that doesn't always happen. Thus we have confession that is linked to baptism to free us from the sins committed afterward. But the possibility is still there, because the sanctifying grace is still offered to us, to live a life of grace, to live as sons and daughters of God. What a beautiful thing that we have in this call from Christ. The baptism of Christ is our baptism in Christ. We are made saints. This baptism has opened us to sanctifying grace, the fullness of that grace, and thus everything that we do, everything we do except for sin, if we do this with God in mind, if we do it with the love of God and love of neighbor in mind, when we offer our everyday activities, everything becomes a life-giving means of grace. Everything. Your work, your recreation, all these good things. Why? The most ordinary things that we do each and every day all mean something to God, because they involve us. And we mean something to God. We've been blessed to receive life in Christ at holy baptism. Thus, everything we do is touched by grace. Every thought, every word, every deed, every prayer, whether it's cooking a meal or dusting the floor, all these things, even our own sufferings and ultimately even our death, all of this has immense and eternal value when you and I unite them to the thoughts, the words, the deeds, the prayers, the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is about. It's about union, our lives intertwined with the life of Christ. And all of this because we're baptized. All this because we're baptized. We're baptized for one thing, union with Christ. Baptism is the journey. The Eucharist is a sign of our destiny. We become united to Christ in the Eucharist here so that we can be united not just sacramentally, but actually, physically, personally, with Jesus in heaven, and of course in the resurrection. The Eucharist is the destiny. It points us to our union here that leads into union forever. That is why Christ became one of us. The whole point of Christmas is simply that, that Christ Jesus, the eternal Word, the Son of God, became a son of man, that you and I, the sons and daughters of men, could be truly sons and daughters of God. Christ became one like us that we could become one with him. So, brothers and sisters, as we conclude the beauty and the wonder of this Christmas season, may we never, ever, ever forget who we are and for what you and I have been created and why you and I were redeemed. Christ is yours, and you are Christ's. You are sons and daughters of God the Father. You are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and thus we are all brothers and sisters of one another. We are temples of the Holy Spirit filled with the presence and power of the Holy Trinity. Don't hide it. Don't waste it. Be the saint that God has called you to be today. Whether you are young, whether you are single, whether you're older, whether you're widowed or married, priest or deacon, whatever state of life we find ourselves in, each and every day be open to what God is asking you to do. Do it today, do it in the future. Be ready to do his will, and as Jesus, to do it well. May God, who has begun this good work in us through baptism, bring it to fulfillment in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.